you see? Did you see that headline in the? I think it was the Daily Sport today.
No.
Let me just get.
I'm not a reader of the Daily Sport, to be fair.
Well, I don't think anyone actually reads it, mate. But
look at them pictures.
Looking at the boobies.
Yeah.
Yeah, you are.
Let me hold it up to the camera and see if Carly can make it out.
What does it say?
That puts a different twist on the old Chinese love bees, doesn't it?
It certainly
what
does.
What does it say?
It says, I stuck 9 cream of eggs up my bum.
Brilliant. Well, it is almost Easter.
I had a Cadbury's cream egg in my pocket.
Well, you enjoy that cream egg.
Oh, I've got some Milky Way things. I'll eat them instead.
Bloody hell. Are we just going
to... Bloody sweet shop corner.
Yeah. I've not seen you in how long, and you're going to, like, come back into my life, and you're going to be bigger than I am. You'll be like, hey, everybody!
Okay, shall we begin?
Yeah, we probably should.
Oh, I thought we'd already started.
Yeah, it's all going in, isn't it? It's all top content. What episode are we on?
Episode 25. Quarter century, mate.
Is it?
Wow.
Is it the last...
No.
I'm going to have to check the feed.
You're going to check, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm going to check.
You doubt me, don't you?
I doubt everything. I'm like comics Fox Mulder.
Diddly do.
I just have to get past all the dirty podcasts that I download.
Okay.
It's 25.
Yeah.
Shit.
Not being funny, this whole episode is just going to be a massive bitch fest.
Good. Bring it on. Welcome, you listeners. We're going to shit on everything that you love. Welcome, comic readers and comic readerettes. Welcome everyone to episode 25 of the BAM Comic Podcast. We're back. It's like we were never away. We were gone 3 weeks. 3 weeks, and we've got a lot to talk about. I'm your kind of host, Neil Gortz. Joining me as always is your other kind of host, Stu.
Hi, kind of.
Kind of. And then joined, as almost always, is joining us is Carly.
Hi.
Wait a second.
There's no delay.
There's no delay. Why is there no delay, Carly?
I'm back in England, the motherland.
Oh, wow. She's waving her Brexit knickers high above her head. Carly's back in England. Not quite back with us, but...
She's back in the colonies. She's back from the colonies.
She's back from the colonies. She's back close enough for there not to be an audio delay, which is awesome. She's almost back with us.
Yeah. Maybe next time,
she'll be there. Which will be awesome. So, kind of welcome back, Carly.
Thanks. Glad to be back, England.
Thanks, England. For the benefit of our listeners, Carly is demolishing several packets of English confectionery.
Oh, sorry.
At the moment, she's on the Milky Bar buttons, but who knows what she'll be onto by the time. Could be anything. She's got them all laid out.
This is what my mum does for me, though. Like, whenever I come back to the country, in my old room, there's a little chair, and she just stacks it up full of as much chocolate as she can.
To be fair, though, American chocolate is shite.
Shocking. Yeah.
Shocking.
And if there's one thing that my mum's taken notice of me over is my disdain for American chocolate, so thanks, Mum.
Although, I am partial to the old peanut butter M&M's.
Can't condone that, I'm sorry. They're disgusting.
Okay.
Well,
am I alone on that one?
Well, we could throw it open, but we're swaying into dangerous other territory now.
You're joining us on the BAM Confectionery Podcast.
Yeah, God, there's a spin-off that needs to happen.
What are you eating?
We are on the Mr. Kipling lemon swirls, mate.
Lovely.
Seasonal.
Yeah.
Seasonal, like a spring lamb. But made of lemon.
Oh, that's a thing. Viennese whirls.
Yeah.
Lamb flavoured.
Oh, why?
For Easter.
Why?
Let's put it out there.
Christ.
When we went to Vienna, Viennese whirls weren't there, were they?
No. Apparently Viennese whirls are a fiction made up by British bakeries.
Right, oh my God, right.
We are diverging.
We're like 5 minutes in and we've not even mentioned comics yet. This is a comics podcast, honest. Thank you for listening and downloading, especially new viewers who may have seen our advertisement in several premium comics this month.
That's right, yeah.
BAM Comic Podcast, it's getting out there.
It is.
It's getting bigger.
It is. Thanks for joining us.
An unstoppable force. An immovable object, but of comics.
Yeah.
Anyway, enough of my prattling. Stu, tell us what we have coming up on the show.
There's probably a reason why we're kind of avoiding talking about comic book stuff, is because
Because this is going to be a massacre.
We're very aware that it's going to end up being a moan fest.
Right.
So, the two big things this episode are Iron Fist TV series.
Ooh.
Two of us have endured the Iron Fist, the entire series.
And one of us pied it off.
Yeah, didn't even make it through halfway for episode one.
Mugged that shit off.
Keep listening to find out who that was.
Right.
And the other one is the big motion picture release
of the century.
Goat in the Shed.
Oh, don't do that.
Sorry, Ghost in the Shell. I would have rather seen a goat in the shed, to be fair, but...
But we'll have so many anime fans listening to us now, and if you say goat in the shed, that might rile... They're very easily riled.
Fuck him.
That's the box quote we need. Anime fans are easily riled. Fuck them.
Who needs diplomacy?
Not us.
And then we'll talk about some comics. But actually, outside of that, we're also going to talk about Justice League trailer versus Spider-Man Homecoming trailer.
Well, yeah, so there is a redeeming light.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Which I'm sure you mean is the Justice League.
Yeah,
there's a lot of trailers, there's a lot of visual media. We do actually talk about comics at some point, but there's so much visual media to get through, we'd be remiss for not discussing it. So let's crack on.
Let's crack on. I should go back to comics. There are a couple of things I want to talk about, and that's the relaunch of the X-Men.
Right.
I've read X-Men Prime, which is the primer for this run. And then...
Oh, I've seen pictures of that.
Yeah, yeah. And then Civil War II, The Oath, which we'll go over, which you kindly picked up for me, because it sold out where I...
I helped.
Yeah.
I helped.
What do you want to do first, Neil? Do you want to listen about Ghost in the Shell, or do you want to go straight to Iron Fist?
Let's get Iron Fist It's Sophie's choice, isn't it? let's get Iron Fist out of the way, as I feel a great many people would like to do. It's just get past it.
Well, you say that. Now,
right.
I went in with very low expectations after...
Much like your Tinder profile.
Much like my Tinder profile. Yeah.
Though he doesn't do too bad on Tinder though, Stuart.
This is definitely a topic for another podcast. Yeah. This is our BAM podcast after dark special. We'll come back to that.
Taylor's Tinder tips coming soon. Anyway, I went in with low expectations after being very disappointed with the latter half in particular of Luke Cage.
Yeah.
And season two of Daredevil. We've talked about this before. You know, they're a bit of a letdown. So I had low expectations. It's really hard.
Where to start? Because like you, why did you tail off on? So Luke Cage, you said you tailed off at the latter half. So where
when is the whole evil brother thing turned up, and it all ended up being a bit silly.
It sort of jumped the shark for me after, like, I absolutely loved the bit where he was like his origin story. That was like amazing. Then just so quickly after that, I'm done. So the bar was set really low for Iron Fist, but that said, Iron Fist is somewhat of a BAM favourite.
Yeah. Because, as in the original comic.
We tore into it a few episodes back, and we're excited. I mean, it had such a... obviously, Luke Cage comes from, you know, an exploitation, a black exploitation. Yeah. Like, they were trying to cash in on that. Similarly, Iron Fist, they were trying to cash in on the martial arts craze.
Yeah.
But it was so ridiculous. We were kind of hopeful to see, you know, how much silliness was going to be able to be factored into that. And I mean, before it's even aired, you've got like the relaunch of like Power Man and Iron Fist, where they've made Danny Rand a bit more street smart and a bit more cool, you know, like his jumpsuits are all like Adidas and stuff like that, and like it works well. Like Power Man and Iron Fist, the recent comic runs have been brilliant,
but they work well together because, like, you know, Danny's a kind of wide-eyed, slightly naive happy-go-lucky, he's kind of a bit Peter Parker Spider-Man.
Absolutely.
A vibe of it, which, with the Iron Fist TV series, it seemed to start off with that fish out of water coming to America. You know, this kind of guy who spent, you know, 15 years almost in a isolated monastery comes back to modern-day New York. And to me, that was like, oh, it's potential of doing this kind of crazy stuff. But it kind of had a taste fit, and then he just abandoned it. Mm-hmm. Which, if I could sum up the entire Iron Fist series, it's because they had loads of good ideas or potential story threads that they kind of threw at you and then did nothing with.
Yeah. Literally, like, throwing shit on a wall and seeing where it lands.
I mean, just off the top of my head, you've got, like, so you've got the whole fish out of water thing with Danny Rand.
Uh-huh.
Didn't redevelop it. His training.
Yeah.
Didn't redo anything on that. Yeah. What are you saying?
Stupid.
Stupid, right. You've got
nothing else to give.
You've got the potential of dynamic where you've got the Meacham, so you've got the brother and sister.
Yeah.
There was almost a hint early on where it was almost going to be a bit...
This going to be a bit Gladiator?
Yeah. Well, yeah, a bit Gladiator, a bit, you know, a bit Game of Thrones. Mm. Basically going to be incestuous. They kind of hint at it, and then they just... That was like one scene and it's never kind of mentioned again.
Yeah.
Then they're kind of, you know, the sisters living this double life of, is she going to be, you know, a bad businesswoman? Is she going to...
It's so boring.
Yeah.
One percentile conflict bullshit. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I mean, I just thought there was potential to do a kind of mirror on what's going on in society. You could have the whole Trump family dynamic.
Yeah.
Probably worth saying, spoiler-wise... If you have any intention of watching the series, I'm going to ruin it for you now.
Be drunk.
So, be drunk. So, you know, the father character, you know, Meacham. I forgot his name. The father. Harold. Harold Meacham, isn't it?
Yeah. Harold.
So Harold Meacham is dead, but he's not. He comes back from the dead for reasons that aren't quite clearly explained. So basically he had a cancer and he's brought back to life by the Hand.
Yeah.
So he spends like...
But they're using his business to move around their own...
As a front for their drug trade.
Yeah.
But I was never quite sure why they brought him back. Because he spends most of the first half of the season, you know, in this kind of sinister-looking oxygen tank.
Mm.
And having these kind of strange liquid smoothie drinks. You think there's going to be some kind of big payoff at the end. Then he gets murdered by his son. For reals.
For reals.
And then comes back from the dead, Frankenstein style. And by that, they kind of hint at it, because, like, you know, he's kind of referred to as Frankenstein on his son's phone and stuff. And you think, all right, so he comes back, and he's kind of got this kind of almost childlike quality to him initially.
Mm.
So you think he's going to go full on Frankenstein. You know?
Yeah.
But then his head clears, and suddenly he's normal again, but slightly psychotic. But it's all very wafer thin. It's all very wafer thin. So it's kind of, you're kind of thinking they're going to go into a bit more depth on these things. They're literally just throwing stuff at the wall. You've got multiple main villains, but neither of them have a kind of
gravitas.
Through fare.
Yeah.
So there's a guy. Is it Bakudo? Or I kept calling him Bukaki.
Apologies, listeners.
Bakudo.
Yeah, he's supposed to be the main bad guy in it, but it's all very much, you know.
It fell short
of him twiddling his moustache when he turned up. It was so obvious he was going to turn out to be slightly nefarious. It's just a mess. It was just a mess.
Can I just put my penny's worth in about probably the most important topic? This is like meant to be a kung fu, a kung fu mark, right?
Yeah.
And I got to be straight with you. Every time he started doing his bloody Tai Chi in the mornings, I wanted to punch myself in the face. I know I've said this twice.
Mm.
Why is your head in your hands, Stu?
I'm sorry.
Just remembering.
I'm flashing back. Yeah, oh God. 13 hours of my life I'll never get back.
I know I've said this a couple of times to you two, but every time I looked at Danny Rand, I just thought to myself, you're like every single massive wanker that comes back from travelling Thailand. Do you know what I mean? And just talks about it all the time.
Yeah.
Gap year.
Gap year round.
Yeah.
Just...
And he's shit at martial arts as well, isn't he? I mean... Unbelievably bad. And then the whole Iron Fist thing. Oh, I've lost my mojo. Where's the Iron Fist gone? Boom, it's back again. Oh, it's just so stupid.
Yeah, it was kind of very much...
I think it just...
On the nose, very exposition heavy.
Yeah.
It was very much talk, all talk, no action. And I think the reason why is because I'd read that apparently Finn Jones only had like 2 weeks training prior to filming.
Mm.
And it showed.
And it did show. I mean, I think what could have salvaged it a bit is like, you know, just acknowledging that he isn't a trained martial artist.
Mm.
Getting to put on a mask.
Yeah.
to so you could have a stuntman do that stuff to make it bit. Because that's the thing, if someone who's supposed to be like, you know, one of the best martial artists in the world, I'd guess, if you have the power of the Iron Fist, the fight scenes were just totally unimaginative and unmemorable. Only memorable one was the one with the drunk.
Mm.
And that was a good one because it was a bit different, wasn't it?
Yeah. Ironically, that guy was in the running to be Iron Fist.
Yeah.
I think I compiled a list of how I've rated these series. And I think we all agree that every series has run two episodes longer than it should have done.
Yeah.
But some of them have managed better with the momentum and their delivery than others. Like, you know, I really rate Jessica Jones. Like,
very good.
Yeah, I find that one near faultless, whereas Daredevil had a shaky start and got really better. Daredevil 2 more of the same, but like it needed to be shorter. It twiddled its thumbs when it didn't need to. Luke Cage was kind of just like falling downstairs. The warning signs were there, and all Iron Fist had this clean slate. Like, obviously the writers and Netflix had heard the complaints, and they had this clean slate to come in and just do something really fun with a character that not many people are overly familiar with.
Yeah.
And it just missed the mark on every single beat. I don't blame the actors. I just don't think they were given a great script to work with.
The
writing was terrible. Some of the supporting actors were nails down a blackboard, shockingly awful. And that was the bad sign for me. I think the scene where the kids are playing Monopoly. Like you say, it was like I wanted to punch myself in the face. And like, normally I would give it the benefit of the doubt, but you know, my life's a lot busier than it was when we first started recording this. So something needs to be out the gate and be running. And just the first fight scene where he's taking on the guards in the building was just like, I've dicked about with a camcorder when I was 15 and filmed better fight scenes with my mates. It was just inexcusably bad. You could have had so much fun. You could have changed the tone to be really like hard. Like, get the drunken master fight in a lot earlier.
Yeah,
like, literally do each episode with a different kung fu villain, much like the comics used to be, and it would have been fine. But no part of this series worked for me at all.
The other thing that was also really annoying was Claire Temple.
The
writing for her was just really bad, and like she's the character that in every one of these shows that comes on, she comes in and you're like, yes, do you know what I mean? Because she's a cool character. She's the link between them all.
Uh-huh.
She's, you know, she's not gifted in any way like that, but she's what binds them.
Yeah.
And what really annoyed me was that she came across as actually being an ignorant twat.
I know what you mean.
And you know, like, she's, you know, there was just so many moments where I was just like, why did they make her say that? Like, why are they having her come across that way when that's not the impression that you would have had from her if you'd have watched the other shows.
Yeah, she's been handled consistently.
But that's the thing. I think the problem with the entire series, and I think the blame I feel rests with the showrunner, Scott Buck, because throughout this series, there were character inconsistencies, which I found really difficult to kind of put to one side. I mean, very early on, I actually want to go back and say, I thought, I have no problem with the cast. Like, a lot of these actors I've seen in different series or films, and they've been really good with the material they're given. I think with this one, they were given shite material, and they've kind of been given a disservice.
Yeah.
So going back to what I said about character inconsistencies, so something like Colleen Wing, who I think is probably the best character in this series. When you initially meet her for the first few episodes, she's quite hostile towards Danny.
He's
trying to be charming. She's like, no, not interested, you know, you can't stay in my dojo, get out, you know, I'm not going to give you a job.
Yeah.
And then I think we got to episode 4, and I was watching it with a mate of mine, and we got to episode 4, and it kind of started off with Colleen doing like a training session in a dojo.
Yeah.
Danny walks in, And she goes all girly and doughy-eyed and all like, all excited. Oh, Danny, Danny. We both looked at each other and thought, oh, shit, have we skipped an episode?
Yeah.
And we hadn't. It just, like, the characterisation had gone from being this hostile to this kind of doughy-eyed, lovesick teenager around Danny, which was, like, it was completely not the characterisation we'd had prior to that.
Yeah.
And that was a very small example.
Thing as well.
Well, yeah, there's exactly that her story thread, which, you know, had her going into a fight club for a couple of episodes and then just kind of forgotten about. And it's just like, it was just no, it made no sense. It was, again, it goes back to having these throwing enough shit at the wall, but not spending time with these story threads. Not there was no through arc, I don't think, for the entire series. It really felt like it was like, we've got a couple of months to do this entire series, and they were almost shooting without a script. It felt like,
But not in a cool way.
Well, no. I mean, I don't know. And for me, it wasn't a cost thing. I think they could have, you know, they spent a lot of time just with people sat in rooms or sat on park benches just talking. You know,
totally
I was quite happy.
Out of touch people as well. People
yeah.
who
are
so out of touch.
Yeah, just they could have done so much more with it and so much better. I think we need to draw a line under our own fist. But yeah, that. Totally. that said, a mere 48 hours before recording, we got 16 seconds of the Defenders.
Amoot!
Stu's out already.
No.
We had 16 seconds of the four principals in an elevator.
Yeah.
And although literally nothing happened, seeing them all together
was kind of cool.
It was kind of cool. Like, oh, I want to believe.
It's only 8 episodes rather than 13, which gives me hope that...
Yeah, already that's a plus.
Yeah.
That's a plus. All I've ever wanted from this Netflix series is to just have literally a 5-second clip in the final Avengers movie where they're all fighting in New York and there's just a cutaway of 5 seconds of the four of them beating up aliens. And I'd be happy.
Yeah.
That's all I've ever wanted. You know, maybe 5 seconds of, like, them fighting and then 1 second cutaway of the Punisher sniping, you know, helping them out and sniping from a rooftop away. That's all I've ever wanted. That's all I've ever wanted. And I would forgive so many trespasses if this happened. However, we've got the Defenders to go.
Yeah. Will Neil get his money shot of the Punisher taking out Thanos?
Sweet Lord. Oh my, imagine if that's how they do it after all this time, after all these movies and all these series, that's how they take out Thanos. That would be fucking brilliant.
Imagine that, can't you? John Bernthal walking in after 2 hours going, fuck this noise. Bang.
Oh my God, Marvel.
Thanos out.
Oh, that would just be... And no one would fault it.
No
one would fault it. That would be fantastic.
They'd be applauding in the aisles, wouldn't they?
Yeah. Literally, there would be... Oh, I can't even tell you what would be happening in the aisles. It'd be fantastic.
Anyway. The reality of it is, nothing that cool is going to happen.
Tune in.
Right.
When the Defenders are just... Right, let's move on. Let's have a little jingle. Brow.
There we go. There's your jingle.
Jingle, right. I believe you two, when Carly circled to the circumference of the studio,
yes,
the two of you went on a trip. Was it a 4DX trip?
No.
I didn't waste our money on it, love.
No.
Fucking, you've gone so British since you've come back.
What?
It's like literally she's come back from Miami into the set of EastEnders. It's brilliant.
Yeah, so we had heard that Ghost in the Shell wasn't all that, so we thought we'd probably hold back Carly's first 4K cinema experience for something else.
Something
probably right. Guardians Volume 2, to be fair.
Not long.
So yeah, we went to see Ghost in the Shell.
Right.
Again, I had my caveat of low expectations, as I did with Iron Fist.
Right,
It's not a bad film.
Okay, well, okay, this is a plus, right?
It's just dreadfully dull.
It's also not that good.
No,
it, really?
I just found it very dull. Mm. There's your review. There you go. Next.
Honestly, I haven't got much to say. I'm just really disappointed.
Because this was actually one of your big picks for this year, wasn't it? And we did our New Year's
show. Yeah,
one
yeah.
of our Magnificent Seven was this. You were very excited about seeing it.
I was feeling all right about it. I was, you know, there was the controversy with the whitewashing, which, you know, was obviously something that's needs to not happen anymore, but it was what it was. I was willing to give it a chance. And to be fair, like, Scarlett Johansson's really good in these sorts of roles, so I just thought, well, that's the one thing that you can kind of say is maybe not even a silver lining, but just kind of makes it a little bit better than bad.
Yeah.
But it was just so bad.
Really?
So, have you have you ever read the manga or watched the anime?
I watched the anime when I was a twinkly 19.
Yeah. So, actually, both... I've read the first manga and I read the second one, which was... I want to say it's called Man-Machine Interface. It's going back a while now. And I watched the first movie, animated movie.
Yeah.
Which is very faithful, I believe. I remember, if memory serves me right, to the original manga. And what I remember from... takeaway from both of those, it's kind of a quite a heavy philosophical look at how technology and how, you know, augmented humans and whether we lose our own sense of identity. It's kind of a deep
stuff. I remember, really deep.
And I remember finding the manga when I read it, you know, quite difficult to get my head around, because it's kind of concepts that now I'm a bit more open to. So I was kind of expecting that from this. I was kind of probably thinking a lot of people would have gone in expecting an action movie going by the trailers, but I knew there was going to be loads of kind of like philosophical musings.
But there weren't they would have done that.
Yeah, but there weren't really. It wasn't very deep, I don't think.
No, it wasn't at all. It was really shallow.
Yeah.
Was it just action scene after action scene?
No, there wasn't that much action. It was very much... Really? I remember my overriding impression of it was being very dark.
Right.
And stylized. We were like, it looks good, doesn't it? Like, it's beautiful to look at.
So just this year's Sucker Punch?
Not that bad. Man, that was terrible. It's just... I think the problem is it has, and it's through no fault of the movie itself, is because a lot of what Ghost in the Shell has as the manga and anime has been already been mimicked by the likes of the Wachowskis with The Matrix. But even stuff like... One movie that sprung to mind, which is probably a bit of a deep cut, was Eagle Eye, which was the one with Shia LaBeouf, and he's being assisted by a voice on the phone that turns out to be a sentient computer system.
Right.
So in the manga anime, the main sort of antagonist is the puppet master.
Yeah.
Which turns out to be an AI. It's kind of become self-aware.
Yeah.
So I thought that was we're going to get in this movie. So you have this kind of mysterious guy called Kuze. Who turns out he's not actually, he's basically just a forerunner of Scarlett Johansson's character, like a failed version of, you know, human brain in a, you know, augmented body.
Yeah.
And it turns out they were friends, possible lovers in a past life.
That she can't remember at that point.
Yeah, I mean, they do tackle the kind of whitewashing thing, and it's...
Oh my God.
It's really ham-fisted, so...
So
in the original manga anime, it's Major Kusanagi, very Japanese sounding name. So they don't give her a Japanese name. They think her name's like Killian or something, Miraki.
Yeah.
So she's given up a kind of westernized name. So she's not Japanese.
Yeah.
Or is she?
Oh Christ!
So it turns out they give her a fake. Yeah, they give her a fake memory. It turns out that basically she was a kind of a student revolutionary who's Japanese. And they put her brain in this new body, and it turns out they do give her a name of Kusanagi in the movie. But it's just like, you haven't really dealt with that right. It just seems a bit...
Yeah.
It's not... I didn't find it offensive, but then...
It was offensive. Okay. Massive spoiler alert as well. When something happens and she ends up she's like, she gets given like a clue as to sort of like where she can find out more about where she came from. And at that point, like... It's a room. It's an apartment number.
Yeah.
And she goes up to this apartment, and this this like older Japanese lady walks out and kind of looks at her, and I'm glaring at Stu at this point, like look at me, look at me, like this, and he looks over, and I'm just like,
we knew scowling. It was going.
Yeah, just scowling, and it turns out that
she makes her a cup of tea.
Yeah, makes her a cup of tea, right? And that it turns out that her daughter was a runaway, never came back. She's kept her room as is. You know, Scarlett has a bit of a fucking nose around in there, letting herself, you know, make herself at home in that. And then there's this kind of like moment where the lady says to her, you know, you remind me of my daughter. And I'm just thinking, do you know what? If Stu hadn't have paid for my ticket, I would have walked out by now. I read something really interesting today, actually. It's an interview with four Japanese and Japanese-American actresses asking their opinion on the whole movie and the whitewashing and all of that type of stuff. And they even said the same. They were like, everything was just off about that, but it's not even in Japanese culture to invite a stranger into your home. That even wouldn't have happened. And then there's a scene at the graveyard where Scarlett Johansson, after the big fight, goes back to the grave of her past self and basically sacks it off and says to her mum, you don't need to come here anymore. And we're like, oh my God, that's really deep. And and they have a hug. And these Japanese-American actresses were just like, that would never happen. Like, in that kind of a situation, you would just look at each other and maybe stare at each other really intensely, but you would never hug it out. Do you know what I mean? And it's just like, but at that point, like, the white English director, Rupert, what's his name, isn't really paying much attention to cultural references, is he? So,
I mean, I find it interesting that Kodansha, the publisher of the manga, original manga, were kind of very much supportive of the direction they were going in and were supportive of Scarlett.
Mentioned in this interview as well.
Yeah, and I know Scarlett Johansson has said that she would never portray a Japanese character, if you know what I mean. Because obviously when you hear a name that wasn't Kusanagi, I was like, oh, okay, they're just westernised it completely. But then to go kind of almost double back and go, actually, no, she really was Japanese. I was like, seemed.
It's not quite Sean Connery and You Only Live Twice, though, is it?
No.
But there's something at the beginning of it, like there's like right at the very beginning, there's something that says that, I mean, this isn't accurate, but that they chose the best candidates for this type of experimental whatever, and I was reading somewhere that someone said, isn't it convenient though that the two best candidates happened to be white? Like, you know, like they were Japanese, but they put them in white bodies. And I was like,
yeah, I mean, it's, again, because like Kuze, who's the main antagonist, looking at the flashback scenes, he was Japanese, and then
Hideo, his real name was.
Yeah, so his new shell is white Caucasian. They try to have a mix of international characters. So, you know, a lot of the characters at Section 9, the department she works for.
Yeah.
Did nothing.
You got French, you got black, African-American. You know, they have a mix of cultures. But it's all a bit, I don't know, it just seems a bit...
It's just...
Ticking boxes.
I don't understand why the movie was made.
Don't care about it either. That was the other thing, wasn't it? Yeah. We walked out of there, we were like... We straight up did not give a shit about any of those characters. Didn't feel for them.
Yeah.
Like, you know, even in the bits where it was meant to be a little bit more on the emotional side, you were just like, oh, let's just get on with it now. Do you know what I mean? That felt absolutely nothing. Felt nothing for them.
Ever since I heard of this one on the horizon, I just didn't understand why they would bother. Like, it's just...
Yeah, it's kind of a funny one. It's not action enough for the action crowd. And it's not sort of more, it's not thoughtful enough for the kind of more intellectual sci-fi fans, you know. It just kind of half-assed.
Without falling on my own sword here, like, it's kind of like the whole Watchmen thing. Like, the Watchmen was supposedly an unfilmable comic.
Mm.
And they did an okay job of it.
Yeah.
But this one is so out there and so niche.
Yeah.
It just doesn't... I just couldn't ever see that it could translate to film well. And
let's just say, right, if you don't know anything about the whitewashing controversy, if you don't know anything about the originals, if you don't know anything about the backstory, you literally go in there with no expectation of what that's going to be, apart from it being an action film with Scarlett Johansson in it, you would probably walk out of there thinking, oh, it's all right. It was all right, you know? But if you're at all aware of any of the other stuff surrounding this film, it's just a massive disappointment and a total waste of maybe like a couple of hours. At least you've got to eat popcorn and nachos.
That is true.
That's the best you can see.
They were good nachos.
Yeah.
Crumbs. All right. Well, let's draw a line under Ghost in the Shell then.
Yeah. Keep it.
Keep it. Keep it, mate.
Oh, I'm not sure if that's going to be the next big franchise. I know it hasn't done particularly well in the cinema, so I think it might have.
She should go do that
Black Widow. Fabled.
Yeah, but he's not doing Black Widow now anymore, is he? He's doing Batgirl, or so the rumours said.
Joss Whedon.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
About that. Exciting.
Yeah.
We might even have a decent DC movie. Imagine that.
How very dare you. Well, let's draw a line under Ghost in the Shell and move on. Tell me what's next, or have I just gone full circle and unveiled it?
You probably have, actually. All Justice right. League versus Spider-Man Homecoming.
All right.
Oh, new trailers.
We had two trailers within the space of days from each other. Marvel.
We had trailers for trailers.
Trailers for trailers. We had... God, we did, didn't we?
Each character from Justice League had a little teaser.
Apart from... Did Cyborg? I don't think Cyborg
did. They all
did,
apart from your Superman, who's dead, right? He's not in this, right? He's dead.
Why? Why? Like, we know, you've shown us Superman. You showed us right at the start of the campaign.
He's in the posters.
He's in the posters. We've seen him. We know he's there.
To be fair, though, I actually quite like they're not doing that. I think, although I've got no real interest in seeing Justice League, out of obligation, I'll go. And I'll quite like not to know much about how they're going to reveal him. How he's going to appear, because that's going to be quite cool. We don't know what he looked like. You know, is he going to have the full on beard and mullet and
they've,
stuff?
They've shown us.
Is he going to be in the black costume?
Yes.
They haven't shown us stuff. They have. Oh, I thought they were mock-ups. They're mock-ups, aren't they?
Yeah, but it was sent out.
Oh, I didn't really. I thought it was some bit of Photoshop work.
It might have been pulled.
Henry Cavill from another movie, put on a black Superman's outfit body. Is that even a sentence?
It is now. Let's become Cinema Merch's greatest detectives and track down the validity of that story.
Okay.
But yeah, we had trailers for trailers. Marvel versus DC went head to head.
Yeah.
In one corner, you've got the hotly anticipated Spider-Man Homecoming.
Yep.
And in the other corner, you've got...
You defending Justice League.
You've got some upset the cinema event of the year, the Justice League movie. Where to start? My initial impressions is I don't care about Spider-Man.
Ooh.
I never have.
God.
I never have. I never will. Yeah. I liked him in Avengers. Was it Avengers? No, it's Captain America. Ooh, yeah. Faux pas, don't edit that out. Great little actor, little turn, handled it better than any Spider-Man movie since the 70s has done Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Loved it. I'm aware that this next film is, I am not in that age bracket. It's very much aimed at a younger percentile.
That's still like a younger audience, isn't it?
And that's fine. Hmm. And that's fine. There's a new generation of cinema goers and comic fans coming up and they need placated. As the trailer as it stands, absolutely fine. Loved the back and forth between Downey Jr. And your boy.
Tom Holland.
There he is. Sorry, Tom, if you're listening. Absolutely loved Michael Keaton.
Yeah.
Loved his costume. Not the actual vulture costume, but just the sort of whole
kind of bomber jacket.
Yeah, with the feathers. Fucking brilliant. Mm. Great.
Do you know about his characterisation? They're saying he's like the dark anti Tony Stark.
Yeah, love it.
Yeah.
Love it. Sign me up.
Yeah.
Sign me up. I'm not particularly bothered about Spider-Man, but I'll go and see this quite happily.
Yeah.
It looks fun.
It looks fun.
Well,
I was just saying, I mean, I like that they've got, you know, Spider-Man in the posters, like he's wearing his hoodie and stuff like that. Like, that's fucking brilliant. Brilliant characterisation. Now, not to do Justice League a disservice, but you had that sort of like aftershave advert of Jason Momoa.
Yeah.
Is that Aquaman teaser.
Do you think they're going to get him branding Old Spice, because it just seems to be like
that's what it felt like. That's what it felt like. But at the same time, I'm so hyped for seeing Aquaman.
Yeah.
I'm so hyped for seeing it.
I'm pretty excited about it, to be honest. Well, I think why.
Different reasons.
Yeah, yeah, different reasons. Different reasons. Yeah, yeah. That trailer, it's off to a bad start. Like, again, DC suffers death by a thousand cuts and death by this strange editorial process where too many cooks get in there and chop it up and say what's cool when it's not. Mm. And they all just need to step back. Off to a bad start, because it's already like, unite the league! And then cut to a man on a mountainside saddling a horse.
Yeah.
Don't give me that Unite the League. Just get cut straight to Mysterious Man on the horse, because you're sitting there in a cinema, you don't know what this trailer is.
Yeah.
Clop along on Dob and the horse, yeah. Take off the mask. Oh, it's fucking Ben Affleck. Does this mean it's fucking Batman? Yeah. Fucking yes! And then could have launched into it that way.
Yeah.
So one mistake already. Then he goes down to meet Arthur Curry, and fucking who in the year of our Lord 2017 has told you that the fucking white stripes are a good idea?
Like, this is coming.
Like, no, that was like 2000, 2002. Like, I remember being a student and like getting those CDs. Like, no, it's not even like retro cool yet. It's just, leave the white stripes out to pasture. So no. I don't like the use of white stripes. You made this mistake in the last trailer.
Yeah.
I even saw people complain. I kept my mouth shut, but I saw people on social media complaining like, why the white stripes? Why the white? And you've done it again. But there we go. We launch into it. Fucking straight away, Momoa is the best thing about this film.
Yeah.
Just a completely different aspect. Looks fun. Just looks like he's enjoying being there. Mm. We cut to your girl Gal Gadot.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's cool.
Yeah, but she's just, the delivery of her lines is just like, oh, where are the others, Batman? It's like, oh, come on, you've just had an amazing trailer yourself. Could have done a better delivery.
Okay.
Here's the same flash clip that they've used before.
To be fair though, the previous trailer was only for Comic-Con.
True.
I don't think there's ever actually shown in the cinema.
Right, but we've seen this bit with the Flash already.
Yeah.
It's cool, but maybe they shouldn't have held that back or chosen a different one. Fuck all of Cyborg.
Yeah,
he's like, just quickly, an aside from Gal
cursory,
there.
Yeah,
a cursory aside from Gal. Oh, he's a robot boy. He's a cyborg. And then the trailer progresses. And this is definitely not the quote that they want to put on their posters, but the whole trailer reminded me of the movie The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, which most people absolutely hate, but I love.
Ooh.
I just love it. I love that movie. I love the series. I love the books. I love that movie. And I understand why people don't like it. But that bit at the end of the Justice League trailer where your boy Jason is hanging off the side of the Batmobile, like giving it the metal horns, going, part of it made my bum clench, because I'm like, I'm aware that this is like moving into like a territory that I don't like. But then he just fucking launches himself off the Batmobile with a trident.
Right, parademons, isn't it?
Yeah, and I'm like, well, fucking all right.
Yeah.
As cheesy as it may be, I'll take some cheese.
Yeah, he looked good. I mean, the Batman stuff, I've got a feeling it's why if I watched it on DVD, I'd skip to the Aquaman and Batman scenes.
Yeah.
There's a nice little quip, but, you know, you get to see
Jim
Gordon as well, don't you?
Yeah, old Simmons.
Yeah, I thought you don't play well with others. And he's like, wow.
Only temporary.
He's
like, yeah, I can dig it. Again with the metal horns. Yeah. That's his thing. Actually, I think it's... that might be terribly culturally insensitive. I think it's the reverse horns.
Yeah.
The Polynesian. Yeah. So, apologies to Polynesian listeners.
I just think it's going to have a few really cool scenes, but it's just going to be CGI'd up the wazoo. and it looks... Yeah, I mean, I remember reading, they were saying that it's going to be a lot lighter in tone.
Which it does need
but
that.
But it doesn't fucking look like it. It's all night again.
Yeah.
It's all nighttime. It's all dark and apocalyptic. It's like, oh, it looks dull. It looks dreadfully dull.
It looks dull. We're going into this movie and you haven't made me care about Darkseid.
He's not in this, though.
Is it just the Parademons?
And Steppenwolf, who's his
name? Oh, Steppenwolf, that's right.
If you haven't seen yet.
They're keeping Darkseid for like the Thanos style.
Yeah, and they're even now saying that he's not even going to be mentioned or something. So.
But
it's going to be Steppenwolf, and I think Steppenwolf's going to be CGI'd. Gone blank on the actor's name. It's the Irish actor who was in Game of Thrones, who's a leader of the Wildlings. You got unceremoniously, or rather ceremoniously, roasted on a stake.
Oh, okay.
I think he's going to be... It sounds like he's going to be the voice of Steppenwolf, because I think he's going to CGI him.
Keep it.
No, I'm not.
I'm in it for Momoa, and perhaps Momoa alone.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm kind of curious how they're going to pull off the whole Atlantis stuff. I mean, you see a brief glimpse of Amber Heard as Mera.
Yeah, which is great.
Which looks kind of cool. Yeah. I saw some of the test footage of they did for Aquaman, which looks kind of cool. But again, it looks too CGI. I think you're gonna. I don't know. I know you're.
Let's manage our expectations.
Yeah. Bag of shite.
How dare you? We know the mistakes made by the last two incursions.
You're going to get them again. And I think, you know, it just seems to me the warning signs are already there.
Mm.
There are problems already with the Batman movie. It does seem like Ben Affleck wants to walk.
Yeah.
We'll see how that goes. The shining light for me was Joss Whedon
saying
he's going to do a Batgirl movie.
I'm really excited about that.
Yeah, I did check the calendar and thought, it's not April 1st yet. And it wasn't. It was a day or two before. Because I was chatting to Carly about this. The thing with why I'm excited about that is because he's almost got a blank slate.
Yeah.
As far as the general public are concerned, they don't really know much about Batgirl.
Yeah.
You know, apart from, you know, appearing in the animated series, and I guess if you're a certain generation like me, you remember Yvonne Craig in the 60s series.
God rest his soul.
But this is his wheelhouse as well.
Yeah, I mean, you know, exactly. You know, if the potential is amazing. I just think it's going to be great.
If they take it out of the DC universe and frame it more sort of Batgirl of Burnside, that would be a brilliant movie.
But I feel they'll set it within this DC film.
I really hope not.
I haven't got a problem with that, as long as they just kind of keep it a self-contained story. Yeah, that's what I'm excited about. In lieu of him going back and doing another series of Buffy, I'll make do a Batgirl movie.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. I'll take it.
Yeah. Just get Eliza Dushku in there somehow and I'll be even happier.
Oh, sweet lord.
Yeah.
Nobody asks.
Yeah.
Nobody asks. Well, that is the two juggernauts, DC and Marvel, squaring off.
So Marvel won it again. What are the odds?
I don't know. DC are gonna win back with Injustice. I feel I've been glued to the Injustice reveal trailers.
But they're certainly the masters of the video game world. I think as far as superheroics go, and look forward to Injustice.
So comic books.
You been reading anything recently? Have you had a chance?
God, my pile of shame has grown. I've been buying them.
Yeah.
I've been keeping up to date with Hookjaw.
Yeah.
Hookjaw 3 was very talky.
Was it?
Very talky. I'm picking up 4 tomorrow.
I've got a copy of that for you.
You've got a copy of that?
Yeah.
Sweet.
But guess what?
I guess, I believe it's a very prominent ad.
Yeah.
Back page.
Yeah. Back page of Hookjaw 4, so I'm dying to tear into that. I've been reading Motor Crush.
Yeah.
Really loving that.
And your WWE, which I've also picked up a new issue.
You got me WWE! Yeah. Fucking yas! Did you watch WrestleMania? No, you didn't, did you? Yeah, it's good though. It's really good. And Rat Queens has relaunched.
Yes, you
and
said
it's
that.
It's back to being fucking awesome. It was never not awesome.
It's been a long way.
It's been a long way, and it's just, it's hit its stride straight away. So, so good. Yeah.
Have you been reading Mox? You haven't had a chance?
No, I haven't had a chance. The comic book stores in Miami really aren't very good. Well, at least the couple that I went to.
Okay.
Really unimpressed.
Yeah.
And it's just been like, oh my God, I've been back in the country for a week and a half and I haven't made my way to a shop yet.
Scandalous.
I might do it. Now I'm back in Bournemouth. Could go down to the one in Boscombe. Could go down to Paradox, the Old Faithful.
Oh, Paul, yeah. The last time I was in Bournemouth, I did go to Frog Brothers in Boscombe. Highly recommended.
Oh, if you're listening.
Yeah. So, a couple of it I picked out.
Right.
Civil War II, The Oath, which, this is going back a couple of months now, this was the epilogue for Civil War II, which was a bit dull.
So is it finally over?
It's done.
Right.
And the reason I'm picking this one out is because it's a prelude of sorts to the big storyline coming up called Secret Empire, which I talked about in the last episode. Now, The Oath is it's basically a conversation between Steve Rogers, Captain America, secretly an agent of Hydra.
He is.
To a comatose Tony Stark.
Oh,
it's following the events of Civil War II. He's in a coma.
Thank God, finally.
How rude. But yeah, it's for a talky comic, which is interspersed with action scenes and glimpses of the future. I find it really entertaining. I think a lot of people are kind of not keen on the storyline with Steve Rogers becoming essentially a Nazi. But I'm interested in how it's going to go, because like he's kind of literally telling this comatose Tony Stark that he's going to destroy everything that they've built, and he's, you know...
Of course he is.
Yeah. And...
There won't be a last minute swerve.
So he's now Director of S.H.I.E.L.D. He's trying to stop Captain Marvel from installing a defensive S.H.I.E.L.D. across the Earth. The Chitauri aliens, which you may remember from the first Avengers movie.
I do.
They're on their way to Earth, and basically Steve Rogers is trying to like sabotage this S.H.I.E.L.D. going up because he wants them to invade. But he's doing these like political machinations. He's trying to do it behind the scenes, you see.
Why would he want them to invade? He's going to die too.
They're on his... He's got them on side.
He's evil now, isn't he? He's a Nazi.
Yeah, he's all on side. It's all
part
of his plan.
No, Steve.
Yeah, so there's like some nice little glimpse of the future. We've got like, you know, the White House... and Washington under siege with like Hydra flags.
Yes.
So I'm like, love that shit. Bring it on.
Nazi Captain America fit right in the White House.
A fascist.
Hot takes by Carly.
Yeah, fascist Captain America.
There's a fucking brilliant, one of my favourite comics of all time is G.I. Joe Reinstated.
Mm.
They always reboot G.I. Joe almost every other year.
Doing it again now, aren't they?
Yeah. But it's just one of my favourite images is just like the Cobra flags flying from the White House. It's so good.
It's good. And they've done something similar with this, like the Hydra flags, you know. It just looks so good.
Isn't this one the one with like the other Wasp? Because, you know, we've been reading the Wasp,
but
this is a different Wasp. Like, we've got...
No, it's the same one. It's Nadia. So in the Oath, you get, like, the cast of characters, because there's... one of the aspects of Civil War II was an Inhuman who could see the future.
Yes.
And one of the scenes featured Miles Morales, Spider-Man, over the body of Captain America. It looked like he killed him on the steps of the Washington Monument, which looks like it could actually happen now.
That
might be part of Secret Empire. So whilst the whole heroic community saw Spider-Man as the bad guy, it actually turns out he's you know, once everything's revealed,
he was the good guy.
He's a good guy.
Ah.
So yeah, I'm actually looking forward to Secret Empire.
Sweet.
Soon, not long to wait now.
Sweet.
Another one I picked up that I'll talk about is X-Men Prime.
This has been on my radar because it's styled, they're very much back in their 90s style.
Yeah, which... It's another relaunch of the X-Men titles. This is under the banner of Resurrection with two X's, I think.
Two X's in their Resurrection.
So they are going to go back to the 90s. They're actually doing...
Is this off the back of the success of the greatest film ever, X-Men Apocalypse?
I think it's off the back that the last relaunch from 2 years ago didn't really seem to take off that well.
What?
So we've had the Inhumans versus X-Men storyline, which I've tapped out of X-Men 2 years ago. So I'm literally getting up to speed. So X-Men Prime kind of closes the door on the current run of storylines and sets up the next lineup.
Yeah.
So you have Storm and Kitty Pryde having a conversation. Kitty Pryde, for those not in the know, has been a member of the Guardians of the Galaxy for the past 2 years. So she's now back on Earth, and Storm is saying to her, I want you to lead the X-Men. I can't do this anymore due to things that have happened, like Cyclops dying.
Oh, Scott.
Emma Frost, the White Queen, becoming villainous again.
Oh, Emma.
And everyone thinks Magneto's an uber villain, but apparently he's being mind controlled by Emma Frost. So Magneto's...
God, I'm just trying to remember Magneto's real name there. Damn it.
Eric.
Damn it. Shit, Eric, I should have known that.
So he's been in hiding. So, as a standalone issue, it's alright. I mean, it's, if someone hasn't read the X-Men for a while, myself. It was kind of
here's a million storylines all at once.
Yeah, it was kind of like here's what's going to happen. So they've kind of set the scene for the new launches, which are X-Men Gold, X-Men Blue. So they're your two team books.
Is that like X-Men After Dark?
Pretty much.
Right.
So X-Men Gold is kind of like your contemporary lineup, led by Kitty Pryde.
Good, good.
With Old Man Logan Wolverine.
Good.
Yeah, and you've got Storm, Colossus, and Nightcrawler, and Rachel Summers, which is an alternate universe daughter of Scott Summers and Jean Grey of Austria.
Oh, bloody
hell. Yeah. Oh, God, I'm sorry, I'm
so yeah. Just X-Men always does stop making it so complicated.
It's very complicated. And then X-Men Blue is, you thought that was complicated,
right.
Is the original lineup of X-Men characters. So you've got Jean Grey, Beast, Angel, Iceman, and Scott Summers. But hey, didn't I say Scott Summers was dead?
You did, Stuart. I distinctly remember you saying
that. I'm glad you asked me that, Neil, because this is actually the time-displaced original X-Men who were brought forward to the modern day.
Right.
and are now stuck here.
Like humorous fishes out of water.
So they're kind of like the 60s X-Men.
Okay, that
they've been brought forward. This goes back about 5 years, that storyline. But they've now gone off on their own. then we have Weapon X.
Right, I know who that is.
Yeah, well,
that, do I?
This is a new series. Actually, I like the look of this one.
Right.
So it's Greg Pak, Greg Land. You've got Sabretooth, Lady Deathstrike, Domino, and Logan.
Okay.
And Weapon X is the sign of secret society, so it's kind of looks like a conspiracy book.
Okay.
With members of the Weapon X project, kind of like special forces. It looks like.
All right, I could get behind this.
That interests me.
Yeah.
And they're bringing back Generation X, which is a very 90s series, which only has got a few of the characters from that series. You've got a lot of it's the newer, New Mutants. Characters I don't even know much about.
Yeah.
Jean Grey finally gets her own series.
Okay.
Iceman gets a new series. This is the young Iceman.
Yeah, the cool one.
In fact, no, it's not.
Oh, still.
No, it's not. It's the it's the older Iceman.
Right.
Who has only recently come out as being gay.
Right.
And it's him trying to find his way and his identity. And I think he's frustrated the fact that the younger Iceman who's come forward from time has accepted sexuality a lot quicker than he did.
Oh.
So,
that could be interesting.
Might be interesting.
That
so, yeah.
Be interesting.
And then the other character I was never been that into, but the comic does sound quite cool, is Cable.
Okay.
So, from what I understand of it, he's almost like a military Doctor Who, where he's chasing this villain through time.
Yeah.
He's going around trying to alter time.
Bastard.
But obviously, Cable's like your big gun.
Time cop.
Yeah. So I'm kind of like, that could be interesting.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's a few things that I'm quite I like the look of. I do like their trade dress they're doing. They're bringing back the corner box, which I think was abandoned in the 90s, where you're in the corner, left-hand corner, you have a little like corner box with like the number of the issue and little like faces of the characters.
Yeah.
So they're doing like a really cool trade dress. All the X-Men books have that kind of look again. And I kind of like
that's cool.
Being an old fart, I actually like the look of that. So yeah.
Okay, well that is quite a stable of X-Men.
Yeah, a couple of those I'm not fussed, but a couple of those I'll give a go, and hopefully there'll be a bit more oomph to them than they have been for the last few years.
Wicked.
Speaking of Cable,
right? I don't know where you're going with this, but
so it didn't come to pass, but for about a day, I was excited at the prospect of Brad Pitt playing Cable in Deadpool 2.
Oh, for God's sakes!
And apparently it's not going to happen because his scheduling was not in line with what they wanted to do.
Oh, got it. Totally got it.
I can tell that. I can sense your upsetness.
Deadpool.
He'd be good. Imagine Brad Pitt in like a superhero, a comedy superhero movie. I think that'd be amazing.
I think it'd be quite funny.
Yeah. He's gone down the serious route again, hasn't he? He's lost all his weight and he's in serious roles again. Yeah,
is he? Oh, well.
But what's to stop him?
Yeah.
What's to stop him?
But yeah, it's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Stand down, everyone.
Michael Shannon is in the running now still.
All right.
Your old General Zod.
Yep.
Yeah. From the Man of Steel, much better than Batman vs. Superman.
Oh, yeah.
It has its merits.
Mm.
I'll give it that.
Michael Shannon being one of them.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
We're done.
We're done. Amazing.
Oh, thank God, I can hardly suppress coughing anymore.
So you've come back to the UK just to be ill and eat buttons. Well, thank you for those that joined us on this big rant. It's not, regular listeners will be able to tell you whether it's ranty or not. We didn't mean to complain as much, but there's been a lot to get off your chests.
Truth givers, though.
Truth givers. Bringing you the truth about comics.
Yeah, I'm kind of aware that obviously Iron Fist and Ghost in the Shell were a bit disappointments. One thing that isn't a disappointment, if you want to watch a really good superhero TV series, is The Amazing Legion, which is now finished season one.
Yeah,
I have raved about the first episode, which I saw. I can say the entire series is bloody amazing.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
My timeline is full with Audrey Plaza.
Yeah.
Apparently she's amazing, isn't it?
There's worse things in your timeline. No, it's brilliant. And yeah. Highly recommended. Anyone who's kind of got a knowledge of X-Men comics from like the 80s and 90s will have a sweet payoff by the end of the series.
Oh, wow.
So well done. So cleverly done. Very stylistic. Probably overly stylistic in parts, but highly recommended. Oh, but you get Jermaine Clement in it as well.
Really?
Yeah.
That's what I'm most looking forward to.
Who's stuck on the astral plane. Okay. And it's like it looks like he just walked out of a groovy 60s beat club.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
Yeah, it's worth it for that.
Pulls that look off so well as well.
So yes, highly recommended.
I'll find the time.
Yeah, and it is weird.
Yeah.
Absolutely, it's bonkers weird, but stick with it.
All right. Nothing venture,
there you
nothing
go. So that's the positive note, see?
That was a good positive note. We will return in BAM 26 when we'll be talking about comics.
And stuff,
probably more television or movie news as well. But if it's about comics, we'll be talking about it. Please give us a follow on BAM Comic Cast on Twitter, or we've got a Facebook group.
Yep, same handle.
Easy to find. Go and track us down. If you want to talk to us individually, you can get me at Neil Gortz with a Z. Stu, where can they get you?
You can get me on Stunami.
And Carly.
C-Moxinator,
but you better bring buttons when you tweet her.
Exactly.
Or she'll just block you.
Yeah, thanks for listening.
Or just not respond.
So thanks for listening. We'll be back soon enough.
Like, rate and review and subscribe on iTunes.
Yeah, give us a little like on iTunes. If you do that, it helps us fire up the charts and get more people listening to us. So if you enjoy
it. And feel good about ourselves, it's nice.
Yeah. We'll drink a cup of tea in your honour. Have a chat with us on Twitter, have a chat with us on Facebook, and be sure to tune in next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You can cough now.
Bye.
Let it out. Let it all out. Exercise the demons.
Oh, wow.